from 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 15, actually down through verse number 19, but just the first few verses there. We're going to go to something else here, but you may know the verses already. To love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I think I got that's the Pastor Fritz version. I might have missed something in there. But that's what we're looking at this morning. And the thought just came to me how, and again, this is something God would dealing with me and working with it this week, but especially in the midst of the message. And a lot of folks think, well, the preacher has everything together and he's just preaching to us. No, God's working in my heart at the same time, probably more than he's working in your heart. I was thinking, are we too comfortable in this world? The reality is, I believe we are. We're too comfortable in this world. And over the last couple of years, and maybe even before, when I think back, it even started before the COVID silliness. But I began to become desperate to see God do something in my life and in our church. And then when COVID started, everything changed and no one knew what was happening. No one knew what to expect. And I thought, I'm going to do something that's extremely uncomfortable for me to do, and something that we used to preach against, the online services. And now I are a TV evangelist, I guess. And even doing the, decided I'm going to ask God to give me strength and wisdom to do something I thought I could never do, but God, I need your grace. And I'm going to do some YouTube things of, what do they call them, YouTube, not podcast, whatever, video things, going through the Gospel of John, podcast through the book of Romans, and just verse by verse of simple Bible studies, and try to share them. And a lot of folks have no idea how much work that is. I had no idea how much work it was going to be until I got going into it, and found out that takes up a lot of time. But I did enjoy the extra time studying and preparing these things and editing sending them out. Sometimes they were messed up and I had to redo them and everything. But I decided we need to do something we've never seen done before. And God was stirring in my heart. He revived a hunger and a love for the Word of God like never before. And I appreciate those that list the three or four people that listened to the podcast and things that I did and put up with them. But if you listen to them, you did better than me because I could hardly stomach listening to myself or watching myself. But God stirred in me a hunger and desire to know the Word of God and the opportunity to start a Bible Institute, which I'm looking forward to it. Getting this going, and I don't know if anybody else is going to be interested in it, but I'm looking forward to teaching. I might be teaching myself in a mirror, I don't know, but I encourage you to join in that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I decided when we didn't know what things were going to happen, and I thought, well, I'm, just to make ends meet, I'm going to have to work a second job and to provide more finances for ourselves and for the church, and just something I said, I'm willing to do that. And I'm going to give myself like never before to the work of God. And I determined to do that and really have for a couple of years and determined to see God do something. And I stated a few times that either God's going to do something or I'm going to die trying. And I'm glad to do that. And kind of a privilege to serve our God. You can never outgive God. And I decided I need to visit more. Of course, we couldn't visit for a long time. Well, stand out in the street corner and be a fool for Jesus and asking God, begging God to make me a better soul winner. And God, in the midst of that, began to revive my own prayer life. And I've experienced a taste of revival in my own life. And I want you to join, and we've talked about joining us in our prayer journey on Wednesday night, and we're trying to redo how we do the corporate prayer and a desire to make corporate prayer more meaningful, as well as our own individual prayer, to see God do something that I've never seen Him do before in my life. I know some folks will just continue to sleep through things, but I'm praying that we as God's people would get behind each other and join forces in prayer and seeking God to revive a love and a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Is looking at the Beatitudes, and actually I just kind of thumbed through there in my prayer time. I thought, I'm going to look at the Beatitudes, and many of you maybe had them memorized, and in Matthew chapter number 5, the Beatitudes, and three of them specifically, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Are we really poor in spirit? We know what it is to be poor in spirit. And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The truth is, I wonder if we are too comfortable in the world. We hunger and thirst for food, but do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? The Word of God mean more to us than our physical food, as Job said. Sometimes we got to go through the trials of Job before we get to that place. And before we realize that God's got everything we need right here, but we get so comfortable in our world. And then another beatitude, but three of the eight that I've been focusing on, especially in my own prayer life, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God. I want to make sure my heart is what it ought to be. And I know how wicked and vile my heart is. And I know that God is the only one that can make my heart clean. And I can honestly say that I feel personally closer to God than I ever have before. And I've got a long ways to go. I feel like I haven't begun to make the journey that I'm asking God to see. And although I feel closer to God, I also feel more broken and more empty than I ever have before. And I mentioned a verse this morning, and we're just going to go there and look at it for a minute, and then it won't be long today. And I'm going to share a song that God gave me this week. And I am encouraging you, when you end your prayer time and your devotion time with God, ask God for a song to help you through the day. A song through the week. A song through the day. Sometimes it might be the same song. But there's a line in those songs. Some of the songs that we're singing tonight were familiar songs, and just a line pops out. That, boy, that's a great truth right there. That's worth meditating on right there. But the thought this morning when I was talking about loving not the world, neither the things that are in the world, why is it that God doesn't answer our prayers the way we'd like Him to? Why is it that we're not seeing revival like we'd like to? And I want more than life itself to see a revival in this community. And I know that that's got to start with me. And yeah, we say that, we mouth those words all the time, but are we really experiencing revival? Why aren't we seeing God do more? I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture. I mentioned it. I was planning on turning there this morning, and God stopped me. I think I mentioned the reference, and I said, look, wait a minute. We're going to save that for tonight. In James chapter number 4, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why doesn't God answer our prayers? James chapter number 4, you find your place in the Bible there, and I'm just going to read through this and make some comments here. In James chapter number 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war in your members? When you see that word members in the Bible, it thinks of two things. When we're talking about our bodies, our members, our hands, our feet, our body, we're struggling against ourselves. We've been talking about in Sunday school that battle that takes place inside of us between our flesh and our spirit, that conflict that's going on, or our members, we think of it in a church situation, of members and folks not seeing things eye to eye. And then it says in verse number 2, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have. And by the way, that word lust there is not used in a negative sense. We want God to do something. We want to please God. We want God to perform something and use us. We lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and yet ye have not. We desire things so bad we're willing to give everything we can for that. But we have not because we what? Ask not. Well, I asked God. Well, Jesus talked about coming with importunity over and over again, begging, pleading, fasting, seeking God in prayer. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lust. What's our motive in asking God to do something? And then notice what he says here, and this is what the verse I was going to turn to this morning, because it goes parallel with 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, to love not the world. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the, what? The friendship of the world is enmity with God. I ask, are we too comfortable in the world? What is our focus? What is our, where does our conversation lead during our idle time together? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You think God's going to answer the prayers of his enemies? We're talking about God's people here. If we get too friendly and too comfortable in the world, we don't realize it, but we've made ourselves the enemies of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Again, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, God Himself who lives inside of us, desires to do something more than we could ever possibly desire to see revival. The Holy Spirit wants to see revival. More than we want to see our neighbors won for Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to use us to win them for the Lord. The Holy Spirit's desiring to use us if we would just put the world behind us and follow Him the way we should. We care too much for the things of the world. The Spirit lusteth to envy. But He giveth more grace. What a truth that is. God giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I dare say that we're too proud many times to receive the grace that God has for us. And we talked about that some this morning, that our pride keeps us, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And that pride is such an evil enemy that comes across so innocently. I mentioned this morning that years ago, and I say this once in a while just to see folks' reaction. 20 years ago or so, I decided I'm never going to tell my children I'm proud of them. I hear parents all say, I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you. I don't want to be proud. I'm grateful and thankful, but I don't want them to know that they're a source of pride. And there's a big difference there. Sometimes we think, well, pride's an innocent thing. That's like trying to justify anger and thinking that that's an innocent thing too. But he says to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now walk with God, our chorus this month, and he will be your dearest friend. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Jesus talked about the double-minded, or James talks about the double-minded man is unstable in all his mind. Jesus, in all his ways, Jesus said that we ought to be single-minded, single-hearted, with one goal, and that is to please God, and not desiring the things of the world and desiring the things of God at the same time. And he says to be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. And we'll just stop there. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? Well, there's a number of things that we could look at in this passage of Scripture. And the main thing is, as we mentioned this morning, that the friendship of this world, because we get so focused on the things of this world, we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to study the Bible and dig into the Word of God. I was encouraged tonight just to hear your testimony that God's using the Word of God, that you're in the Word of God. And the reality is we need God to do something that we can't do on our own. I need God to do something that I can't do on my own. I dedicated and desired and begged and pleaded, but I thought, how much am I doing in my own strength? And really trusting God, instead of really trusting God for our motto that I made up a number of years ago, I find God's grace is amazing. And I thought, do we find God's grace is amazing? God's grace, God doing in us what we can't do on our own. But we're content just to do what we can for God. No, we need God's grace. We need His amazing grace to do more than we could ever imagine or think. The song that I just can't get out, it's not a real familiar song to a lot of folks, but it's one that's I think is a great song. I'm just going to read the words to it, especially the second verse, but I'll read the first verse, that He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. You know, I've had experience, in fact, the last couple of years, I said, I'm going to do all I can for God, and if it kills me, it kills me. So what? I get to go to heaven. But I decided, no, it's not going to be me doing it. I'm just going to ask God to give me grace, to make it through days after sleepless nights in prayer, and to do what I can't do. He gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. And He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. There's so much to do, I can't possibly do it, but I need His grace. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace and strength. And listen to this. When we have exhausted, I just had to park there for a while in my prayer time the other day. When we've exhausted our store of endurance, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. And if we're honest, most of the time we'd leave Christ out of it. We're just going to do it. When we've exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed or the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, then and only then is our Father's full giving only begun. When we throw up our hands and say, God, I can't do it. I've done everything I can to try to revive and to try to seek You, but I can't do it. That's when God begins to work. And that's where we need to get. Our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. What a great song. What a great truth that is. When I've come to the end, a preacher friend years ago that used to always say, when you come to the, in fact, I think he even wrote a book, that's when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Or tie a noose and put your head in it. One of the two. We just need to trust God's strength. And I know some folks will just go on and, yeah, whatever, we've heard it all before. And you know, I know this, when God is real, when you pick up this book, there's nothing more exciting than this book right here. When God is real, you can't wait to get up and talk to the Lord in prayer. When God's real, you can't wait to get to church. And I don't care if it's a boring preacher, you're on the edge of your seat. Not leaning back this way with your eyes closed, but leaning forward. Boy, I want to get it. I want to hear it. When God's Word is real. And I do find God's grace is amazing. And I need to know His amazing grace in my life. Let's not get too comfortable in this world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of our Father abideth forever. What a wonderful thing it is to walk with Him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And let's abide in Christ. Let's know what it is to walk with Him and fellowship with Him and know what it is to get a hold of God. I believe our time's short. And if we're going to reach our community for Christ, it's going to have to be now or never. As we say goodbye to folks that are passing into eternity around us, and then to realize the direction our world's headed, and it ain't going to get any better. And we need to walk with God like never before. And by the way, God's grace can get you through whatever trial is coming down the road. You don't have to worry about a thing. I know sometimes young people, I'm not sure, how am I going to make it through? Just walk with God. And He'll take you right through it. He'll march you right through the lion's den. You maybe pick up a pet lion cub along the way. I don't know. You'll go through the fire without even a smell of fire on your garments when you come through the other side. God has a way when we walk in His grace to get us through. And no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow but God Himself. And He's already been there. And we can just trust in Him. I'm asking you to stand to your feet.